Welcome to Blinkers Off with your hosts, Jared Welch and Aaron Halterman.
Get excited, Halterman. I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halterman. It is Thursday, March 7th, and this is Blinkers Off. What's up, man?
Can I ask you a serious question? And this has only popped up for me in the last like 2 or 3 weeks. It's a serious question, though.
Okay.
When you watch our intro videos as we get ready to do the show, intro or outro, you look at some of those older feeds and go, Jesus, I am so old now compared to how I looked back then.
I try not to think about it that way, but it is a sad reality that we are getting. I feel that way too. Like, I mean, mine's magnified, I feel like, because I, play golf and the next day I'm like, my whole right arm is sore and my back hurts. And, you know, it's just like, okay, I remember when I used to like just do stuff without hurting all the time.
Yeah. Oh, I remember when I could go up in my attic and not break my arm, you know? So it's just, it's depressing. The live feed one is the worst. Like when we do the live shows, I ran it for, I did a lot of Kentucky Derby shake for, you know, and my gosh, that's an old footage in there. And I'm like, Jesus, I am really.
Well, there's one in particular, I think that it's you and I at the track.
Mm-hmm.
We got our stocking caps on and we're doing something. I don't remember what it was. But I mean, I'm talking, that's had to have been like 10 years ago, probably, if maybe not quite. But it's like, dude, I mean, a lot has changed since then. My gray hair included. So
it's depressing.
It's,
oh, well, we're here.
Racing, let's see, owning the business, racing, and kids will do that too, man. But we are here.
Yep.
Let's talk a little. Okay, so this weekend it's a lighter weekend for sure. I would say compared to last weekend, but last weekend kind of turned out to be kind of light too. So we will do Tampa Bay Derby this weekend. It is a 50-point Derby race. We do have horses to talk about. Maybe not the best horses, but we do have horses to talk about. But let's first recap, a little rewind here to what the hell we saw last weekend. You know, the Fountain of Youth was the highlight of the day. You at least assumed that going in. It was one of four Derby preps on the weekend. The San Felipe was a joke. It was moved to Sunday. It was two Baffert horses and three mules and two Bafferts are in 1-2. Can't win points or can't earn points for that. So, you know, whatever. You know, you got at the Turfway race. It was like, all right, you know, that don't know, you know, it's Turfway. I don't know really what you learned out of that one. Aqueduct was an absolute sloppy disaster mess. Maybe that horse deterministic is decent. You know, we can wait to see, I guess, with the wood in that one. Mm-hmm. But the Fountain of Youth, that was going into the day. That was like, okay, this is at least is the one, right? Like, they're serious. Or you guys heard us on Blinkers Off last week. We talked all about the Fountain of Youth, how good this race was going to be, how much potential there was out of the race, Derby horses. And dude, just one after another, one hit after another. Victory Avenue scratch, Lock scratch, the morning of. And then, of course, you get to the race and you're thinking, all right, well, at least we have Dornick and Speakeasy. Like, you know, maybe not the best two out of the race, but you're going to learn something out of this. How good is Dornick? How good is Speakeasy? And then Speakeasy is a freaking idiot, hurts himself going in, like, you know, warming up before the race, cuts himself. He's scratched. So now you're left with Dornick and a bunch of others. That was a bullshit race. I don't know. Like, the weekend was very disappointing whenever you kind of consider what we kind of thought it might be.
For sure. No other way to put it. And don't forget, just FYI scratches out Dakota Dale as well, which was another huge, you know, scratch with already a weak field kind of on paper anyway. Yeah, but back to what you were saying, it just fell apart on us, right? And like I said, when the Fountain of Youth field came out, you thought, okay, we're going to learn some things, right? There's some definite contenders. There's some fringe contenders that I'm really excited to see how they kind of do against the more established crew. And by the end of this, it's, you know, 1 minute to post and Speakeasy's running around loose on the track, hurt. And it's just like, okay, well, we're down to five and it's four horses that really shouldn't compete with Dornock. And they kind of did compete with him, and I don't know if that's good or bad, or maybe he'll get better, or maybe he wasn't cranked. You could say whatever, but the bottom line is it just totally fell apart on us again, and that is a broken record, and that is kind of the theme of this weekend, too, as far as the Derby preps go. It's just like, yeah, it's there, but I don't know what it is.
Well, it's just like we at the very least, like, again, like, we kind of knew going in, like, the San Felipe is not, you know, obviously losing NYSO sucked, right? Because at least you had a Preakness prep in a way. I mean, I don't know, like, you know, what is that? What happened with that? And then you get left with Imagination, who's like mediocre, right? And then and Wind Me Up, who's not that good really either. But so you kind of, that was a bummer just in itself. But from the Fountain of Youth standpoint, you kind of felt like, even if you don't know about these horses, you're going to get at least somewhat of a measuring stick kind of happening here with some of these, you know, I mean, like you talked to, like, Locked, Dornick, you know, Speakeasy kind of up and coming, and then Victory Avenue, same with that, up and coming. So you had two, like, first round, top 10, top 8 horses in the country right now, plus two kind of up and comers that are in the country, and then you got left with Dornick. And so that, to me, was like, you, at least we could have ran that race and be like, okay, well, you know, Speakeasy's pretty good. He beat that field, and that's, you know, maybe not the best horses, but that's a pretty good win or whatever. And instead, we got to see Dornick, like you said, just kind of run whatever. Like, I'm not going to, like, discredit him too much for the race, but at the same time, I didn't leave the race saying, wow, he's really good. Like, that's kind of, he backed up all his, you know, what I, you know, a lot of the hype. No, I definitely did not. So now we're here, left with him another, you know, basically getting into the final prep of figuring out maybe what he is.
Even if he wins by the same margin, but he looks professional about it, you go, okay, that, at least he was professional. You know, he did everything the right way, and he just kind of cruised, and they didn't ask him for much. But, you know, you go back, and I know a couple people on the live chat was like, well, they didn't really ask him to do much. You go back, and yeah, they did. Like, Castellano was whipping the shit out of him, you know, and it was just –
Whipped the shit out of him. He wouldn't change his leads.
No.
And the horse that was – got like ninth in the rims in the time before that or whatever it was, like, was right there testing him the whole way around. Basically, it was like not a good look. I'm sorry, it was not a good look if you're backing Dornick heading into the Derby.
No, I don't think it was a good look if you're backing him going into the Bluegrass, to be completely honest with you. I mean, I think you got to go into that race, even the Bluegrass or the Florida Derby, whichever one he chooses. But I've heard it's going to be Bluegrass, but they've also thrown Florida Derby into the mix. But whichever race, it doesn't matter. If you're backing him, you are counting on the fact he will improve off of that effort. Now, the flip side of it is he should. I mean, well, hopefully, right? But he does have, like, second off the layoff and trying to build him up slowly to the big one. I mean, there are reasons for him to improve. The problem with him, and it's become a growing thing, whether he's, you know, quote-unquote ready to pop that day or whether he's just prepping for something, he's not, like you said, he's not very professional. He doesn't switch his leads very easily. He's kind of goofy, and I don't think you're going to get that out of him. That may just be who he is, right? So, you know, I know there would have been people, if he wins that race by 10, they go, well, he didn't beat anybody, but I would have thought better of it just for the fact that, hey, do everything professional. You've seen it to where you see a horse, they're really good. They're up against horses that aren't very good, and they're just kind of in their own race, right? And maybe they only win by a measured margin because they don't really ask the horse to do much, but you can tell. It's like, oh, they're way better than these horses. You never felt that about him. As a matter of fact, you felt the opposite. You felt, as we were saying, if that horse on the rail, we called them, keeps doing this, the horse on the rail may win. That's a horrific sign, in my opinion.
A very good comparison was the day before when Conquest Warrior did what he did. And that was like, if you guys haven't seen that, it was an allowance race on Friday at it's a Sugar Horse, obviously a real time contender that will be seen. Again, another one of those horses though that will be seen, like, what they are really, one race, you know. Probably seeing the Florida Derby next, I would imagine. But point of that is like, okay, the number didn't come back incredible or anything like that, but you watched the race and your eyes told you, okay, he did that all the right way. He did it professionally. He did it easily. That's a horse that I like moving forward, at least that shows a lot of signs. Whereas you look at Dornick and all the same reasons. Now, you know, and I get one's a grade two Fountain of Youth, one's an allowance race. But when you look at the field that was in the Fountain of Youth, it's like, all right, that's kind of allowance race at best, really. And so it's like you would have liked to seen that similar type of, okay, he, you know, Dornick set off just a bit. Then when it came time to go, we kind of asked him a few times, boom, he went by him. And it was kind of, even if it, like you said, even if it was a couple of links, if he did it the right way, you're like, okay, that's a horse that off the layoff, he'll get better off of that.
Yep. Yep. I mean, and you keep saying it and you're right. All of this that has happened is really kind of starting to be meaningless this year. And it's not always that way, but it is this year. Of it's literally going to come down to those last three weekends of preps. And, you know, all of these horses are kind of going in with the same idea of you got to prove it right now. Like, there is nobody to love. There's nobody to fall in love with in this crop. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have one. We could see something in the last 3 weeks that really kind of jump out at us. I got to be honest, if we're sitting here April 7th after all this is kind of done with the same feeling, it's going to be a dreadful Derby. Whether you get the Derby right or wrong, most years you've got a couple horses that's like, all right, like, I'm going to try to rely on these horses. And like I said, it's the Derby. You just never really know. But there isn't one horse that I even want to bet right now in a race like that. It's hard enough week to week finding horses you want to bet in these prep races.
Yeah. I mean, think about it this way. You think how bad of a horse, let's just say, Scatify is.
Yeah.
He's set 22 right now.
Uh-huh.
22nd place. And assuming they run him in the San Antonio Derby, and assuming Bob Baffert has two or three in that race, they can't get points. Like, Scatify might sneak into the Kentucky Derby by getting points. Mm-hmm. You know, even look at a horse like, Locked, who can't even run in a race. And is in the Derby. He's 17th right now.
Yeah.
You know, you got horses like Hades, who's 13th with 20 points. Who's probably going to get points. Mystic Dan. I mean, none of those horses are horses that I want to bet.
No.
Even if you want to look at the tops, Timberlake is number one on the list right now. Dornick is two. They're tied for 60 and 66 points. Sierra Leone, Track Phantom, Deterministic. All those horses I just mentioned are what you said, and I feel like we're going to need to see them again in order to just even have any inkling. Like, I don't even know, dude, to be quite honest with you guys, if Timberlake – were to win, if you go through, because Timberlake's pointing to the bluegrass, Dornick's supposedly pointing to the bluegrass, and maybe Sierra Leone, we don't know. But like, let's just say those three are going to the bluegrass. One of those wins that race, and you still are like, yeah, but you know, it's going to be hard, and it's going to be hard to like go into this Derby with a ton of confidence, regardless of what happens in the next 6 weeks.
Well, and one thing I'll caution people, just because they're aiming for that race doesn't mean they're going to make it, right? I mean, and even when they enter it doesn't mean they're going to make it. So don't take for granted.
Even when they get onto the track, it doesn't mean they're going to make it.
No, I was thinking today, I said, if you're going to pick a prep, the bluegrass seems to be the one. I'm really kind of excited for that one. Yeah. And then I stopped myself and I said, you idiot. It's for like 4 weeks to that race. Like, by the time we get there, maybe Dornock and everybody else again, So I don't know.
Well, that's kind of wild. Like, I just had a thought. Like, it's like, dude, we are less than 1 month
away. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because you have the April 13th, which is a Lexington. That's kind of your last ditch effort. But, history has shown us Lexington isn't going to bring in much Derby horses. But April 6th, that's the big, the wood, the bluegrass, and the San Antonio Derby. It's March 7th today, dude.
Yep,
we are less than a month away. So all this talk of like, and it's like, oh, it's going to get better, or these horses are going to, it's like, give it time. This is it.
We're up.
This is it. The Tampa Bay Derby. Then you got the Louisiana Derby. Then you got the UAE, the Florida, the Arkansas, all that. Like, we're in the Derbies now, right? Yep. This is it.
Time's up for sure. I said on one of the Derby videos, can't remember which one, I was like, the horse to me that every time I watch him, it's like he does everything right is Track Phantom, right?
Yeah.
When you watch Track Phantom run, you cannot really be critical of him, right? He just does everything right. if he falls on the lead, he can take it, but he can stalk, all this stuff. And then I went around and said, but his biggest problem is he may not be very good. Right? So it's like, here's the horse that is checking a lot of boxes, but he's not very fast. And it's like, oh, well, maybe that's good enough this year. I don't know. I would love to see him in Louisiana Derby Day take like a big step, because I think I could get on board with Track Phantom. But I mean, you got to, at some point, you've got to make the step up from kind of that, you know, grade three allowance type of time figure, however you want to put it, to, okay, he can go win a big race like that, you know?
Yeah. Our Stephanie, we will be, we'll be at the Bluegrass. So if you're, we'll be April 6th. So we'll be there. It's kind of turned into a new tradition for us over the last couple of years. We've been going kind of aiming towards that, honestly, versus the Arkansas Derby. Whereas we used to go every year for the Arkansas Derby. So definitely be at the Bluegrass if you're going to be there. I think what's going to have to happen here is you're going to have to just get on a horse that, you know, at least shows, you know, because like if Timberlake or, you know, Deterministic or someone, if whoever you like, or Track Phantom, you mentioned, like, just makes that one more step in their next prep. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it wins the race. Looks like they improved a little bit off the last race. To me, that's where you're just going to have to say, you know what? That's the horse I'm going to pick in the Derby, and hopefully they make that one more step. But at the end of the day, I mean, what else? There's not – if you're looking for that superstar horse, if you're looking for – you know, they're all – one, they're all ineligible to get points if they are – you know, and two, if they did if they were in this group, if they were able to get points, I mean, they don't exist in this year. So it's just like, you're going to have to take that. To me, it's like the horse that's running the best on the Kentucky Derby Day. That's what's going to have to happen.
Yep. 100%. And it's kind of fun
on the Oaks, by the way. I don't even want to talk about the Oaks, because I don't know if I can name 10 horses that could be towards the Oaks.
I've got my Oaks horse.
Oh yeah. The one you mentioned the other day. Yeah.
Yep.
Which might not be the
Impel, who won Sunday at Oaklawn. That's my Oaks horse. Hasn't ran in a stakes yet, by the way.
So. Yeah, won't run one until April, but yeah, still.
Right. True.
But for now.
For now.
For now, it is. Thoughts on Agate Road from Eddie.
Eddie, I mean, look, he's going to go to the Louisiana Derby, I heard.
He's got 10 points. They want to stretch him out the longest possible they can in these final prep.
He's like 80 of the other horses that are going to these final preps. It's like, if he runs a big final prep, I'll think a lot of them. If he doesn't, then I won't. I mean, when I think of the Louisiana Derby, I think he figures into it. I don't know if I'll pick him to win, but you can't say, well, I don't think he has any shot at it, right? Yeah. I would much rather have seen him in this Tampa Bay Derby, but again, they want to stretch him out, like Jared said, and I get it. I'm on the fence with him, but I could say that about, you know, like I said, 40 different horses right now.
I don't like, and I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say he doesn't have a shot, because again, like, you know, he keeps saying it over and over that this is not the best of group, but I don't like whenever a trainer is like, well, we need to stretch him out as long as we possibly can just to see, make sure he has the best chance to win. You know, like it's almost like, well, he's not that good, but going longer, at least we'll give him a shot to win, kind of thing. And I mean, I get it. And like, it could definitely work, but it definitely tells me as well. It's like, listen, we don't think this is like this horse that can win, you know, wherever we take him.
Yeah, I mean, the best way I could put it is, we started covering the sport in 2007. From 2007 to 2023, Agate Road would not be anything I was even close to interested in. And this year, I'm interested in him. So that's how wide open it is.
Well, that's sad, but
it's true. Like, true. A turf horse who came running very late to get second in the Sam F. Davis. That is, I'm sorry. All the other years I've ever been involved in that, he would not even be in my brain.
But forward.
This year, it's like, well, I mean, if he improves, he runs better, maybe.
Yeah. And then don't get me started on what we do with Fierceness, because, you know, like, Fierceness might be the biggest, you know, I mean, there's a really good chance that he is the biggest overlay and the biggest underlay of the Kentucky Derby of all time. Like, it could be one or the other. And neither one would surprise me, frankly, because you could see him, if he romps in the Florida Derby, like, he'll be one of the favorites. He'll be close. You know, he's 2 year old of the year. He won the Breeders' Cup, you know, his last prep. You can say, okay, whatever. If he doesn't run well, and we still know, like, we've seen great races from him, which makes, and then some terrible, terrible ones as well. Like, if he were to win the Derby, it's like, kind of, it would be very similar to the Breeders' Cup, right? Where you're like, oh, well, where the hell was that from? You know, so it's like he's just a total pain in the ass in this race.
I'm more worried about him in the Florida Derby than I am the Kentucky Derby. I think he's a bigger problem there. I think after we get that Florida Derby data point, so to speak, I really think we'll know what to do with Fierceness if he's even in the Kentucky Derby at all. Like, to me, he has to run so much better in the Florida Derby to even be considered. So I think he either gets back to his old ways, you know, in the Florida Derby, and you go, gosh, now what? Or I think he maybe was a one hit wonder.
I mean, well, yeah, I guess he was kind of one hit. Yeah. But no, I mean, well, if he runs well, will you consider him in the Kentucky Derby?
Well, the one fact of it is he's ran a race faster and better by far than anything else in the field.
Yeah.
So if he got back to that kind of race, yeah, I'll just take my chances with it, right? Because you at least, you know, going in, hey, he's way better than everybody if he fires his race, you know, and you got a 50-50 shot that he fires it. But, you know, for me, I'm sitting here going, I don't think I could bet him in the Florida Derby even, right? Yeah. So he's got a lot of proving to do again.
Well, you would at least know if he, again, a lot of ifs here, but you would know, okay, well, if he were to win the Florida Derby, and I mean, it's all that's assuming that, like, at least you would know, like, hey, he does have a race that's capable of winning the Kentucky Derby, you know. Yeah. Whereas some of these horses, you're like, well, hopefully he runs better, continues to run better, and if he does, then he could have a chance to win. So there is that point. Born Noble running the Florida Derby, and what's going on with Speakeasy? I'm not sure about Born Noble. Halterman, Speakeasy's kind of done at this point. You know, I guess the cut was really deep, and so just to kind of make sure that, you know, no infections and things of that nature, they've taken him off and basically letting that heal. And so it sounds like we're not going to see, which is so wild, right? The Speakeasy is, which sucks for you, but like he went from being at least getting 25 points towards the Kentucky Derby, maybe 50, to off the trail pretty much completely. So that's where, do you know what Born Noble's situation is?
I heard a rumor Born Noble might enter Tampa and didn't. So I'm guessing Florida Derby or, you know, some kind of prep like that's where he's going. I have no information on this, and I've asked people that would know, and they told me, no, he's not hurt. I still feel like he got hurt in that allowance race he ran in, but that's only my opinion with no knowledge. Just the way that happened, I think he's hurt. Speakeasy, like Jared said, he's at the farm. I don't think he's going to be there very long. I would be shocked to see him in a prep. Maybe he runs in like the Peter Pan, like, yeah, which is kind of a prep for the Belmont. I think that might be.
We run him in the case. Pat Day.
Maybe he goes to the Pat Day. Yeah. I would think that timing, you know, around in there is where you're going to see him.
You know, sometimes, dude, there's like, it's, you know, the old saying, like, when there's smoke, there's fire. And sometimes you have to, like, you know, like we heard, you know, it's like we hear all the things about Locked a while back. And then we're like, oh, then immediately he's entered in this weekend, or last weekend. And you're like, well, okay, whatever. And then he scratched. And you're like, okay, that's weird. And so, yeah, like with, you know, with the Born Noble thing, it's like, well, the plans were kind of to run this weekend. Now he's not. And then there was kind of like, so sometimes it's just like, I don't know. You kind of have to take it. You don't know for sure, but it's not a great sign when horses start skipping plans. Nope. Basically. So
nope. And you know, the second and third place finisher from Born Noble's allowance already come back. Well, one got entered in, they both came back and ran. So yeah, I don't think it's good. I don't. And I think if he was healthy and ready to rock, this would be a perfect spot for him this weekend, but he's not there. So,
yeah, because, you know, typically this race, being the Tampa Bay Derby, is when you see Pletcher send out, maybe it's not as tight. You know, last year we saw a tap of trice, and that kind of turned out to be his best, sadly, at the time, mm-hmm. his best 3-year-old. You just don't have that this year. You have Hartend, who's like kind of the, well, we'll see what happens kind of horse. So yeah, I'm with you, man. If you had, this is usually the kind of race, especially when you look at this field, that if he had anyone that could run, this is where he would have entered him.
1,000%.
So I just said that, I think that's an issue, but all right, guys, let's get into it. 'Cause we just talked a little about Tampa Bay Derby this week, or today's show. We are going to preview and get picks for that race, the $400,000 Tampa Bay Derby at Tampa Bay Downs, a 50-point prep race for the Kentucky Derby. Then we'll give some rapid-fire selections for the remaining stakes races this weekend at Oaklawn, Santa Anita, and back to Tampa. Let's go. Hey, Kevin, let me just ask you, you know, all the shit I got from you as my teammate, have you seen the leaderboard of the fantasy league by chance? Just asking. You were ready to sign off the whole season after the draft, which understandably so.
Yeah.
We're in first place, son.
Yep. And with a legit shot.
Well, I don't know about it. I won't go that far. I don't think we have any horses that can win. That's the problem. But it is. We just went over why they could win, I guess. So.
So. I'm the dictator of the lead. I can make that happen. I can put Kevin's name next to yours.
I don't want it though. Yeah. Because he's gonna earn it. You know, okay. Like he was talking shit about the team and I don't, you know, you always, to be on my team, you gotta always have that blind faith.
That's right. He's not loyal. So
no, he was signing off the year before the draft was even over. He was ready to quit.
Yep.
I don't like
You're that. Done. Okay.
Sometimes you just got to trust the process, man.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Did you stand by me? Because, I mean, you were ready to, like, start trading picks. That's my style. Negative reinforcement. See? I don't know. I mean, listen, I continue the support. We'll see if you can earn the trust back, Kevin, and if you can, and we'll see how the rest of the season goes, we can discuss with the dictator here, adding a name to the team there. I'm not opposed to it, but I'm just saying, like, you gotta get back in back in my circle here.
Well, it's a tedious situation. We just have to take it one day at a time right now.
That's right. That's right. We are a day-to-day situation here.
That's right.
Yeah. So although I am kind of wishing I would have claimed a horse this week, just because could feel like you could have stole some points out of this Tampa Bay Derby field, but
no doubt
create my own league. Okay.
Yeah.
Go for it. Go for it.
Fine. Live horse Live league. Do it.
Do it. And our race is on in the Tampa Bay Derby.
Saturday at Tampa Bay Downs. We have race 11 this weekend, the Tampa Bay Derby. It's a $400,000 race going mile 16 for 3-year-olds. Kentucky Derby points on the line. That's right. So you look at this field, Alterman, and there are points on the line. 10 horses, 50, 25, 15, 10, 5. So half the field's going to get some points here as we go to the Kentucky Derby. Look at the odds, man. I mean, you're talking about heavy, heavy top two choices in this race. 7-5 on the Sam F. Davis winner, No More Time, the Iowa bred, and then 8-5 on the 5-horse domestic product trained by Chad Brown, who was last seen finishing second to Hades in the Holy Bull. So, I mean, look, it's in Hartend is, like I mentioned, it looks like that's probably very clearly, I would say, going to be the second choice between him and Sturdy. Sturdy is the 8-1 choice, who's a maiden, by the way. I don't know, man. Like, you call it what it is. This is a pretty sad field.
Yeah, yeah. Vinny actually from the Fantasy League. Maybe Vinny will join Kevin's league. But anyway, he texts me the field. And he said, he texts me his pick. He's like, I guess I'm going to go domestic product on first look. And I said, well, who's the field? I haven't seen it yet. Sent it to me, and I was like, who are some of these horses? And that's a really bad sign for a race. I looked at this and go, well, if No More Time runs the same race he ran in the Sam F. Davis, I think that'll be another easy win. And I mean, you can make up some reasons why some, that's the wrong phrasing. You can make cases for reasons why some of these horses may improve. And that's probably some legit thoughts, but at the end of the day, I'll take a horse that just ran over that track, probably beat a better field last time than he did this time, or will face this time. I think if No More Time runs that race, it's an easy win.
Listen, I did not like... Okay, so the Remsen itself was an awful race from Domestic Product. Dornick won, Sierra Leone, Drama Please. Like, some horses that are decent, but this horse finished 7th, beating 16 lengths. That was off the main special weight win in October. The horse came back in the Holy Bull, got beat by Hades, was 14-1 for Chad Brown, and now you're getting 8-5. I just... No, well,
did you go back and watch that race?
Yeah, it was so bad.
It was awful.
So bad. It was bad. Hades did everything he could do to let somebody pass him in that, and no one wanted to pass him. Fierceness was awful. I nothing about that race. And so it's like, even like going into the weekend, when it comes to like fantasy perspectives, I was like, well, you know, I knew the Tampa Bay Derby was this weekend. So I'm like, all right, you know, sometimes it's nice when you get a field like this, you can get some points easy. What I mean by that is it costs 20 to claim, and if the horse wins, you get 50, and if the horse hits second, you get 25. And so you're like, all right, cool. Like, that's an easy way to get some points. But then I looked at it, I was like, no, I don't really don't want Domestic Product, you know. And mm-mm. And it's crazy to think about an 8-5 Chad Brown horse. I'm thinking that, but that's kind of how I feel about the horse. And No More Time, that's kind of like, I'm with you, man. Like, I certainly didn't leave the same F. Davis saying, wow, that's my, you know, I like that horse a lot. Like, that's my horse. But I don't know what's really the difference here is that you instead of Agate Road, you have Domestic Product. You know, to me, that's kind of the field itself is garbage.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't Sturdy. I had some interest in, but the number from that last race was nice, you know, but I just, you know, still a maiden, Weaver, Alvarado, I just couldn't get there with them. So
nope.
I just think gate to wire, this horse kind of cruises around, and I don't think any of these horses are very good to chase them down.
Yeah, pretty much my thoughts too. I mean, I couldn't say that I would be completely shocked if Domestic Product won, but I just didn't see it, you know, anything to really jump out at you. I do think the 4 Good Money might be a little interesting. I know the number's low on that maiden win for Good Money, but, you know, the horses have come back out of that race and got higher numbers in their second starts, which kind of makes me think the numbers screwed up on that. I am more interested in Good Money than I am Domestic Product here.
I would agree with that. Yeah. And you're getting 15-1 versus 8-5. So
I think I'm using that horse in second.
I think that horse is going to, I'm not going to say like, I think Domestic Product could go up and Good Money will definitely go down mm-hmm. in price just because look who's riding. Irad, you know, comes in to ride for him. Obviously Irad's on the card a lot for Chad Brown, but Irad getting the mount here. That's a good sign. I would, because at least with, I feel like with him, it's like, we don't know what he is.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Domestic Product, I kind of know what he is.
I've got a pretty good idea. I mean, there might be a little more improvement to him. But yeah, I mean, we've got a pretty good idea who he is. And yeah, like I said, I'm ignoring that low number. Because like I said, the horses have come out of that and run a lot better numbers. So it's like, yeah, they screwed that one up probably. So yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, the 4, the 1, you know, maybe the 10, even though still a maiden, but those are kind of horses like, yeah, okay, I could get on board trying to play them at longer prices, you know, more than Domestic Product. But again, I mean, you can circle back around it all you want. To me, this kind of feels a little bit like the Rebel, where it's like, well, here's a horse named Timberlake, and we don't think he's that good, but, you know, surely somebody can beat him, and just nobody could beat him because the horses in there were horrible. This is kind of that, I think, with the exception of, you know, maybe one of these will jump up here, you know, and maybe this is the race that'll happen. But on paper, I mean, No More Times ran a race. It's just a lot better than the rest of these.
Yeah. And, you know, you got Castellano aboard as well, which is, you know, from the Paco Lopez the last time out. But this, you know, horse that didn't run well in the Mutual Macho Man, but really other than that has ran really well his other two career starts. So I don't know really what happened. Just didn't, you know, necessarily off the layoff or whatever, but in that Mutual Macho Man. But the same with Davis. Again, like West Saratoga, Agate Road were in that race. Those finished second, third. I mean, this horse went off the favorite in the same F. Davis. No More Time, the Iowa bred, mm-hmm. with Agate Road, West Saratoga. I don't know. And in this race, we got a little potential here too. I saw a comment as well, which I kind of agree with domestic product in the race, with the other Chad Brown in the race, and with Todd Pletcher having the one horse in the race. Is there possible that you get all that 7-5? Maybe just, is there any chance this horse floats up a little bit even?
I think like 7-5 is probably about right.
It's not a sexy pick. It's not anything really.
Maybe you get a little more, maybe, but you got to remember this horse was bet down to 3-1 on Sam F. Davis Day. So this horse took a lot of money Sam F. Davis Day. So I think it'll take a lot of money again. And again, I think for people that just look at the form and they don't really care about anything else, they're going to look at that and go, well, hell, he's better than these horses. That's who I'll bet. You know, I mean, that's what I would do if I didn't know anything. I picked it up and thought, well, shit, he's ran a race a lot better than any of these, you know?
Silver Charm says the 9 Grand Mo the First has some interest in this course, coming from Gulfstream Park, ran at San Anita once, which was kind of an odd placement, but has ran at Gulfstream Park, ran at synthetic the first two starts, ran the swell last time out, 7 furlongs, finished third, kind of an easy beaten third, but still stretching out now, should stretch out better, should run better, at least I should say. Stretching out, sire is Uncle Mo out of a Giant's Causeway mare. Thoughts on the 9 at all? 12-1.
Don't hate the 9. I definitely think this is one you might be able to get involved underneath. I know people are going to look at it and go, well, he finished third, and then the second and third place finishers of the Fountain of Youth, that's who beat him. So that could be good. But the one thing I would pause you on, remember, somebody had to run second and third in the Fountain of Youth. Right, like it's so, yeah, like most years it's like, well, that takes a lot of that's a lot of value here, so this horse may not be bad, he only got third, but who cares if they ran second and third in the Fountain of Youth, right? Like somebody had to. So it's a mixed bag, but it's still, it's like, okay, that horse has got the connections, gonna have the good local jock up. I mean that horse could win. I don't think it's impossible.
Listen, I'm going to just, I'll make it, I mean, I'm not, I guess you have to do 0.5 because it's a 50-point race, but I literally, and I don't, and I'll say this today, a couple days before the race, nothing that could happen in this race is going to get me excited or to change my mind to think, wow, maybe this is a Kentucky Derby type horse. Nothing. So 0.5 is the number over under horses out of this race running the Kentucky Derby.
I think you have to go over because the winner is in. So you have to go over.
One of them has to run in it, right?
You know?
So, but literally, like, are you kind of, do you agree? Like nothing would change your mind about that, about any of that happening.
Most likely. Yes.
It's just,
I never want to make a definite statement in horse racing because it's so crazy, but most likely this is not going to have any impact on my line of thinking. No.
Yeah. Because I mean, even if the horse like rolls, I mean, honestly, the worst thing that could happen is the 7 No More Time winning again, the similar way, because it's like, well, these horses just aren't very good. If the 5 wins and does it like really impressively, then I guess you do say, well, maybe that horse is just getting better. But again, it would take a whole lot for me to change my opinion of this race. So,
yeah.
I mean, I didn't think I would pick the horse going in, but here we are, the 7 No More Time, my pick, as well as Halterman's pick to win the Tampa Bay Derby this Saturday. Yuck. I'll go cleanse myself after that one. Guys, I mean, listen, we're never going to sit here and tell you guys the race is better than it is and try to hype it up, because that's just not a good race. Is a bad, bad race. And maybe the worst race we've had, where it's like there's no Derby implications at this race, and they're all eligible for Derby points. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. especially a 50-point race, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not good. It's not.
It's
like, as much as people make fun of Tappet Trice, which is deserved, he would crush this field.
Yeah, I mean, at least that year, you know, we had Tappet Trice, and what was Brad Cox? Or no, I'm sorry, I'm thinking of the Bluegrass. But what was the other horse he beat? Was he the only one last in this race?
Yeah, but we've had Classic Causeway. He would crush this group, you know.
That's the thing. I think what tells you more is the fact Pletcher doesn't have a horse in this race. Not like a you know, heavy type favorite type horse in this race. Yeah. That tells me more about his situation, his horse's situation, than what did show up.
Yep, agree.
All right, time for rapid fire. Let's kick things off here, Halterman, with race number 9 at Oaklawn Park on Saturday, the Azari Stakes. It's this is a grade 2 worth 400K going a mile 16 for fillies, mares, 4-year-olds and up, and the field of 8 lines up for this one. And again, I don't want to continue the trend here, Halterman. 2-1 on Hot and Sultry, 3-1 on Comparative, Saddle Up Jesse, 4-1. 5-1 on Bellmore, but you know, you remember when the Azari used to be like almost the who's of the older female division, certainly of the Midwest. But it just, what happened with this race?
Well, we don't really have a lot of good older female horses. You know, I think that's part of it right now. That you remember the Breeders' Cup was kind of weak, even you know last year. Yeah. So yeah, look, it's not great, but I. You know, it's kind of just the Oakland horses, basically, and a couple of shippers from Aqueduct. listen, I'll take, as far as a pick, I think if the 6 Hot and Sultry breaks better this time, she'll take him gate to wire. You got to get out of the gate. That's going to be a big problem. It was a big problem last time out, stumbled, and that was it. Fell all the way behind and just made a little mild rally. But look at the race 2 back. If she gets out of the gate and gets that trip, I think she's gone. So I took the 6 Hot and Sultry on top.
Yeah, that's kind of where I ended up as well. That last race, it was off the bench. Did not, this is kind of a weird horse, at least like how the horse has been spaced out. It's like ran the Apple Blossom, and then after that ran the Derby City Distaff, and then didn't run again until November, and won by 8, and then didn't run again until February, like the race you just mentioned, and didn't break well, and now finally getting like another race under her belt. So, you know, if we can just get a little bit of consistency with the running the races, I mean, she's a nice horse, certainly good enough to win this race. Finished 4th in this race last year to Secret Oath Clary here. I mean, an Interstate Daydream. So she can win this race, no doubt about it. But like you said, needs to break well. I have some interest in the 7 Tiny Temper at 20-1. Like, I think that horse is interesting for a huge underneath play. But again, I'm not going to get too creative here. I think Hot and Sultry will run better second off. So give me the 6 Hot and Sultry. Did you consider anyone else in here? Like, for instance, the horse that I had a little looks at as well was the 4 Comparative.
Yep, that was the other one I thought would look at. And the 5 Saddle Up Jesse I thought was interesting too. Just barely got beat by a neck 2 races back to Comparative. So I wasn't too creative. 4, 5, 6, that's kind of who I considered.
Yeah, it's not the best of race, but I think you kind of hit it. That's what we have to offer. So let's go out to Santa Anita now. Race number 6, Santa Isabel Stakes. It's a grade 3 worth 100K, going a mile 16th for 3-year-old fillies. It is a Kentucky Oaks prep race. 50, 25, 15, 10, 5 for your top 5 finishers. Field of 8 lines up here. Halterman and heavy favorite who can't get points. Number 4, Kenza for Bob Baffert. Hernandez Baffert at 4-5, 4-1 on Navy Bell at 4-1. The other one that's interesting, I think, is Ultimate Authority for Pratt and Yak Teen. What do you think of this one?
I think it's Kenza and Move On. I mean, I thought she faced a tougher horse last time out at a distance that horse might be tough at, and she smoked her. So Kenza was my best bet the last time she ran. She may be this time too. I haven't totally decided that, but. Number 4, Kenza, and Move On for me.
Yeah, not really a lot of considerations here. It's a horse that's not really gotten close to losing. Not really, I shouldn't say. Has not gotten close to losing in her 2 starts. I tried to beat her last time. That was dumb. So I'm not going to do that again. She's just is too good. I do think if she's going to get beat, which I don't think she is, the one does have some interest for me. You know, looks like kind of could sit off a little bit. Stretching out, I think, will be okay for the horse, Pratt, back aboard. But I'm not going to get sneaky here. I think the four is a winner here for Kinza. And no points awarded to the winner, so 50 points dead out of the Oaks. Let's go to race number 8 on the program. This is a grade 1 at Santania, the Beholder Mile Stakes. Worth 300K, going 1 mile for Phillies, Mares, 4-year-olds, and upward. Halterman, field of 9 shows up here. And, you know, hey, at least we got somewhat of an interesting race. You got 5-2 on a Dare Manor. Green up. You got Pletcher with Interstate Daydream. I just mentioned that horse a second ago.
Mm-hmm.
First time start for Todd Pletcher from the Brad Cox barn. Those horses have entered. Desert Dawn is a nice horse underneath. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we do have kind of an interesting field here. Some more shippers than I thought coming out for this one. I think the grade 1 status kind of makes this interesting. I bet Adari Manor, number 2 Adari Manor. I really think this is a horse that out in Southern California, when it's not the Breeders' Cup, you're going to have to really put on your running shoes to beat her. I mean, you just kind of look at the races she won, very similar to this one. She won 5 straight and then went to the Breeders' Cup and just wasn't good enough. But, you know, there's really nobody to be scared of. I know it drew a good field as far as, you know, shippers coming in, giving it a shot. But at the end of the day, like, she should be able to beat these horses on her home track. So I went number 2 Adari Manor.
Yeah, do you have any thoughts or any what do you think happened here with the 5 Interstate Daydream? This is a horse that's a successful horse, frankly. It's won over $800,000 for Brad Cox, and now it's, you know, was the horse sold?
Yep.
Because it's now owned by Ripoli Stable, so that's my guess, right?
Yep, the horse got sold, and Ripoli bought the horse and took it to, or, you know, obviously going to take it to Pletcher. So it's odd, you know, it's very odd that you see that. Usually when you see a horse of that age bought, it's usually for breeding, but they wanted to run her, and it's a weird spot to show up in for the first race. But again, new owner, probably trying to get that grade 1 status.
Yep. Pletcher bringing out Green Up as well. Team Valor owns that one. Listen, I understand. I mean, honestly, I had a Dare Manor kind of pegged on top here. If I can get the 5-2, then I'll probably book that one. The horse that I'm interested in that I'm going to try to pull off an upset here is the 4 Desert Dawn, who's kind of been known to be the also ran to a Dare Manor. He's pretty much run second to her almost every time they face, other than the fact that the Breeders' Cup Distaff, where she beat Adair Manor, finished 5th, only beating him a length and a half in that Breeders' Cup. I thought she ran really well that day, and then since then has ran 2 really nice races, Halterman, Bayco, and La Canada for Desert Dawn. This is kind of up against another field that she has struggled with. Not as she runs well pretty much every time, but as far as struggled to win. But maybe D'Amato's got her running well, and so I like that this Santa Anita, she runs well every time. The distance is all right. So give me a little upset here at 8-1 for the 4 Desert Dawn. But again, that's going to be a tough ask, because she's going to have to do something she hasn't done in the past, which is beat a Dare Manor. I'm with you on that. I probably played those 2. I'm going to try to beat both Fletchers, which I don't know. Maybe won't fare very well for me. But Dare Manor, do you think you're going to get any of that? No way you get 5-2, right?
You wouldn't think. You'd think it'd be a little bit bet down from that. But, I mean, at least there are some other options. I don't think she's going to be, like, a crazy low price.
Well, it's not. Yeah. I mean, she's not. It's just she's a good horse, but she's not, like, there's enough horses in the race where you're like, others will take money, too.
Right.
So, let's go back to Tampa to finish things out here. The Hillsborough Stakes is race 9 on the undercard. Grade 2. We're 225K going 1.8 on the turf for fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and upward. Field of 8 lines up here. And listen, this is a kind of a fun field. Not going to lie. 5-2 on Market Segmentation. Fluffy Sox at 3-1. The 2 Chad Browns on the inside. You also have Elusive Princess. That Elusive Princess, the one that just looked like a superstar the day we saw her at Saratoga at 9-2. Star Fortress, Sherry DeVoe at 7-2 on the outside. All horses I like in this race. You also have horses like Aspen Grove, Sparkle Blue, Beachnut Trophy, and Embrace Me. But thoughts on this race, Halterman? It's a good one.
Yeah, I love this race, and I'm going to go back to an old friend of ours, the number two Market Segmentation. I mean, this horse got real hot, started Florida Derby Day, that ended up winning three in a row, including the Grade One New York. Didn't run well in the Diana, and now it's kind of been off since, so it's a long layoff that never really bothers me with Chad Brown horses. I like number two Market Segmentation quite a bit, always have, so I'm going to go with the two on top.
Yeah, listen. Okay, for one, like, what has happened? Like, you know, you and I both, though, so when Elusive Princess, like, after that Saratoga Oaks, and she just looked, I mean, looked like a Breeders' Cup winner that day.
Yeah.
And then when we got news, like, oh, Del Cor is going to keep her over here and they're going to train her, you and I both were like, oh, man. You know, like, and no offense, weird. Like, fine trainer, but it just, you kind of knew that, like, I wasn't as excited about her moving forward. And then, you know, Star Fortress, another one I really like. That horse could be anything here. The Pegasus did not go well, but had a kind of a tough race. But you also could wonder if that was just too tough of a race for her. So I ultimately went between the one and the two Chad Browns, which is just really bold of me, right? Go between two Chad Brown horses.
Right.
I know, right? I'm really going on a limb here. But I went with I'll go the other one here. So maybe one of us get this right. Number one, Fluffy Stocks. Just kind of the old faithful that just keeps on coming back for more. Finished fourth in the Pegasus last time out. Didia, surprisingly, Ruby Nail all beat her. But, you know, I think this distance is a little bit kind of in her wheelhouse. That mile and eighth distance runs well and just kind of always brings it. Irad back aboard after four straight rides on her. So give me the one, Fluffy Stocks. I'm with you. I like the two as well. But the two, either one of them really have been hard to trust over and over again. Although you can maybe think that Market Segmentation as now as a five-year-old is going to get better. But I haven't seen her since that long layoff. So give me the one, Fluffy Socks, to, I guess, pull off the upset over the stablemate.
Mild upset, yeah. 1-2-7, I think, is all you need in this one.
Yeah, where are you at with Elusive Princess? I know I kind of talked for both of us there, but do you kind of agree? Like, because didn't you think that day, like, I mean, we saw something. That was way special that day at Saratoga.
It's hard to know because it was such a horrible track, but it looked great for sure. And then you got to remember, got beat only 2.5 by Maj there at Keeneland in that last race. And Maj came back and ran awfully damn good, almost won a Breeders' Cup race. So I don't think it's time to get down on her yet. But at the same time, I do kind of agree with what you're saying. It's like the mystique kind of feels like it's gone a little bit with this horse. But this is a really good starting off race. It's a tough spot, but it's a logical spot. So I think we're going to know a lot more about her, you know, after this race. If she shows up and runs like fourth in this one, you can probably forget it, right? Right? But if she shows up and runs well, I think she's still on track.
It's probably fair for I probably am too critical just because I think I was so high on her after.
Well, we bet a shitload on her that day at Saratoga.
Oh yeah, we became instant fans.
Yeah, sure. And I think sometimes that happens because you bet a shitload and then it's just pouring down rain. And you're like, oh my god, this is so stressful, you know. And it's like, well, it's the only European horse in the race, so she should be totally fine. And then she does that, and then you're like, ah, this is one of the greats. And then the next race was like, that damn Delacour doesn't know what he's doing. When in reality, it's like, well, that was a really tough race. Maybe we should calm down a little, you know?
Yeah. I think the issue for me would be like, you would like to see her run second in that race.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But
for sure.
To finish fourth, I mean, I'll give it. It was close, but still. All right, guys, I've got the one, Fluffy Socks. Halterman's taking the two, Market Segmentation. We're going the two, Chad Browns, in Hillsboro. Silver Charm wants to know the latest on Tanya Showers.
Boy. She was like third or fourth in that race that Impel was ran in. That's the latest on Tanya Showers.
Yep, Tanya Showers finished fourth in the allowance race the other day to the Oaks winner, Impel. Step Slow kind of came running late. To, you know, could have finished probably second or third, but you know, didn't run very well early. But you know what? Tawny Showers is one that we always give a redo to, you know.
Absolutely.
Always. I mean, Tawny Showers, I hope runs in every big race possible because I love that name.
Well, she needs to start winning some. The dream is slowly dying of running in big races.
Well, the sad reality is you know, Hartman trains and Oakland's going to be running out of time before long. And
yeah,
then where do they go from there? I guess where's Hartman go? Churchill?
Yeah, he'll go to Churchill.
So,
yeah,
well, you know, but Tony Showers has a better ring to it in Oakland. So
yeah.
We're still going, Magic. Hundreds of sports cards.
Good old Magic.
That's an interesting one. Interesting comment. All right. That's all done with, guys. Check us out at racingnews.com for free picks. And our premium selections on our products page. Click the Racing News Premium button at the menu at racingnews.com to learn more. Go check out the Best Bets page. How's your dad doing on the Best Bets page recently?
He's doing good. Him and I are both doing very good this week. But, yeah, he's back. He kind of had a lull, and now he's kind of back up again. So he's doing an excellent job. I think he went 3-1 last night. He was pumped about that. So it's been weird with the horse racing this week. It's been like rain everywhere, so that's kind of been hit and miss. I'm trying to find some for me. But, yeah, he's doing good.
Yeah, I was just looking. He is just about to surpass me as being the top handicapper or top profit on the site. 18.4. We'll go down here to the nice leaderboard. So this is what's cool about it, guys. You got, you know, 18,776. But look at my win loss, 118 and 170. Obviously, my swings are bigger than his, and so sometimes I hit, you know, sometimes I don't. 520 and 355. Just insanity. How good that
is. It's crazy.
Is.
It's crazy. And crazy. He, after we bragged on him, he went through like another about 10 days, I'd say, where it was just like, good Lord, how are you doing this? He slumped for about a week, and now he's starting to get back hot again. So, and it's tournament time almost. So that's,
oh, baby.
That's big, big time. He'll be ecstatic for that.
I tell you what, we probably need to have him put out a little like cheat sheet type thing. Because you talk about a guy that's going to know about every single like, bubble team, 16 seed, 15, 4, whatever, like that guy's seen in every game they've played all year.
He went on a rant about some bubble team. I can't remember what it was. And he'll probably go on another one today because we don't, you know, we don't even have anything planned. We're just going to get on and do an hour, but coming up at 5 o'clock. But, anyway, so yeah, he's primed and ready for it. He definitely knows all the little teams, little conferences, stuff like that. So yeah, if that's right, Kevin, it was South Florida. He's like, if they lose their tournament, they should get in. And I'm like, you don't like what they haven't even played a game in their tournament. They'll probably win it, you know, but he was very upset. Very, very upset.
All right, guys, make sure you go check out the Magic Mike Show, which are live now, I guess at 4 o'clock. And then Halterman and his dad will be live at 5 to do the Due to Bet. What do you guys got going on Due to Bet?
Well, I don't know. We're just going to show up and talk for an hour today. Swear to God, we don't have anything planned.
It's basically like you guys get a first look at like what a conversation would be like if like Halterman just called his dad and said, hey, what's going on? You know, basically what you're going to get.
I literally, on that show now, I text him the time it's going to start, and that's it. I never tell him what we're going to do. Doesn't matter. It just goes on its own thing. I'm sure we'll talk college basketball for a lot of it. He was wanting to get in on some like overall, you know, mentally how hard it is to like gamble every day and like the trying to stay on an even keel type stuff. We might do that a little bit, but it'll probably be like 45 minutes of him yelling about basketball, and then we'll yell about some other stuff and we'll make a few jokes and we'll leave. And it's, I guarantee you we fill an hour, and I guarantee you there won't be any lulls in it. That's the one thing I know for sure.
I don't think anybody's worried about there being lulls in that show with you.
We literally go in and we're like, I'll say, do you have anything? And he's like, no, I don't have anything. I was like, okay, well, let's do it.
Oh man, thanks.
Hit the live button.
guys, again though, if you want prior right now, switch on over to Tampa Bay or to Due to Bet, or I'm sorry, let me start over to the Magic Mike Show, who does have the Tampa Bay Derby day, the pick five happening right now. If you guys want to see how to go 4 of 5, make sure you tune in to the Magic Mike Show. They are great at not hitting tickets, but they will give you some analysis of who to play maybe in some of the other races.
Can I tell you a little? I got to go here in a second, but I want to.
Yeah. Did you have a story for me?
I did, but I'm going to save it for later because okay. I'm about out of time. Okay. You said they don't ever hit tickets.
Go ahead.
You got an email.
I lobbed it up for you. Go ahead.
It's the funniest email I've ever gotten. This guy goes, "Hey, you should quit limiting what Samish can do on Magic Mike. He's your best handicapper by a mile, but he hasn't hit a ticket in an eternity." I'm like, that's the dumbest fucking email I've ever received, and I've received some bad ones, but that is so... You literally said he's our best handicapper, and he hasn't hit a ticket in an eternity in the same sentence.
There's a lot of layers on that email.
What the fuck? And then I was like, well, we've never told him what to do ever on any show, ever, ever.
No, ever.
So that was a truly like, it was all I do to be like, did you read that out loud before you sent it? Because that's crazy. Right. But I mean, I couldn't believe it.
Hey, if you could pick like why Halterman, like if you to stop picking just four horses every race. If you could pick like six horses every race, you would hit a lot more tickets.
I couldn't believe the email. I was just like, no. Oh, it's my fault that he sucks. Like, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was, I didn't know, even know. I sent a message to you or something. And you're like, dude, I don't even know what to say to that one.
You screenshotted and sent it to me, and I'm like, oh, I saw it, and I don't have a clue what how to even. So I just typed back, hey, no, we don't limit what he does ever. He can do whatever he wants and hit send. Like, I don't even know how to respond to that. So anyway,
well, you know what? If only we didn't limit him so much, it would.
I'll try my best to stop limiting Samich so he can hit more on Magic Mike, because
looks like they do a very like it's pretty evident, right? They keep the tickets low. I mean, it's not we have zero. We've never had any input on Magic Mike show. No. They obviously try to keep their budget a certain amount and they keep it there. And so it I mean, I don't know what you want from that. You know, it's like, okay,
I was just. What? What are you talking about? Number one. And number two, read what you just wrote out loud and tell me that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I can't make him hit him. I mean, so I'm sorry. You know?
It just, and the fact that it was that the hasn't hit a ticket in an eternity was like the icing on the cake of the email. It's like, because it's like, did you, like you just said, did you just read what you just wrote? It's just crazy. That's the emails we get, though. We should have one show every month or so where we just compile the month's emails that we've gotten and just read them aloud. That's it. We just read them aloud to everybody, just to let you guys know the kind of insanity we get from every month.
How about this? Tune in to the first part of Dudes Who Bet Sports.
Okay.
And I will tell you another story that is more bizarre than that one.
Is it the story you were going to say earlier?
Yes. Okay. Then. Yes. But I do think, you know, it's probably more for that show because we had a lot to do on this show and you don't want to drag it down, but we're this show. I literally just told you we have nothing planned. So,
perfect.
So it's like, these people need help, like, and I'm being serious when I say that on the bizarre story I'll tell to start off Dudes Who Bet Sports.
All right, well, tune in, guys. Here's your
it was like this is how these stories always start. Monday, sitting here doing nothing, just mind like not doing anything. Get an email, and I'm like, well, that's weird. And I reply to the email, and the reply I get back was like, holy shit, like you're a psychotic. Anyway.
Wow. I own the site with them and I'm intrigued. So stick around. Get live and here shortly. So guys, yeah. Make sure you stick around for Dudes Who Bet. Make sure you guys hit the like notification buttons. Subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already. You can listen to all the podcasts on all the platforms that you listen to podcasts, as well as the Magic Mike Show and Dudes Who Bet. All right, guys. Until next time, let's all try to withstand and recover and get through to this weekend's Tampa Bay Derby. And we will be back next week to talk about who won and what's upcoming in the Kentucky Derby Trail. All right, good luck this weekend, guys.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Blinkers Off. Join our horse racing community at racingdudes.com and follow us on Twitter at racing_dudes. Want to make money betting horses? Bet with the Racing Dudes.